Accession number 30399, Mr. Bill Parr, Reel 7. Now, we're just talking about, you know, a typical day. Mm. So would you then go to sentry duty? I mean, someone would be on guard or sentry or how
would
they organise that?
Yes, yes. You'd have two on, four off. As though you was in barracks, like, you know. You couldn't relax, really.
And what was it like on sentry? I mean, would you look over the top or what would you do?
Oh, one. You'd be looking and listening. Because, bearing in mind, there's no lights. If there's a moon up, that's all the light you got.
I was meaning during the day.
Oh, during the day. Oh, yeah.
You still have a sentry on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So it's all day and all
night. You'd still be there, yeah. But otherwise, you'd be relaxing anyway. You might be weapon cleaning, you know, which was essential, like, you know.
How important was weapon cleaning?
Tell us about it. Yeah, it was.
So how far would you go with weapon cleaning?
Well, you strip everything down. What would come down? You take to pieces.
Every day?
Clean it, oil it, if you had the time. Yeah, clean it, oil it. There's nothing like having a gun jam on you. And by keeping it in working condition, oiling it, lovely. Nice.
Now, for you, what weapon was that? That was just a rifle, was it?
Yes. Just a rifle.
But other people would be doing
the 303.
Other people would be doing the Bren and the...
Yeah, the Bren gun.
And things.
Yeah.
But everybody would do it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. If they had any sense, they would.
Would anyone check it?
They wouldn't skive. Oh, yeah, you'd have the NCOs come round. Yeah. Yeah, that's a must, that is, yeah.
Now, what else would you do during a day? A quiet day. Say on the Hill 355, it's quiet.
You'd just relax, that's all.
Now, what is relaxing? Is it just sit in your hooch or sit in the trench? What would you do?
Well, nothing at all. Just relax. Just relax, you would. Yeah. Just do nothing.
Would you talk to each other, you know, about your lives?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, you talk about where you live, like, you know, and what you'll be doing now. You know, this particular moment, what we would be doing if you was in Glasgow and all that. Great. Yeah.
And you'd talk about what you've talked to me?
Yeah, sure.
About home.
Yeah.
Would you play cards and things like that, or was that...
Some would, but I wasn't a card player. No. No, I wasn't a card player. No.
So just sit there yarning?
Yeah. Yeah, that's all.
What about writing or contacts with your mum or home?
Oh, yeah. I used to write home.
How often would you write?
I wasn't much of a writer. I used to get in so many rows with the padre. Our padre was Tom Nicol.
Now, why didn't you write much?
I just don't know.
Didn't like it.
I didn't like writing. There was nothing much. I don't suppose Mum would be interested in what I was doing, you know. So I did used to write, but not often.
And why did the padre get onto you? What business was it?
Well, probably Mum used to write to him. She's probably wrote to him, what's happened to Bill, like, you know. And
so she was bothered.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what about... So that's one way. One way you're not very good.
Yeah, yeah.
What about the other way? Were letters from home... from either friends, girlfriends, mates.
Oh,
were they important to
great,
you?
Great, yeah. Must have a letter. Yeah, that was real nice. Yeah. It got you away from your environment just for as long as you read the letter.
So it was a sort of one-way process, though,
yeah,
for you.
Yeah,
what would they write about? I mean, you know, what would your mum write?
What was going on? Now, what grieved me was if they'd have... Some of the lads had gone up the West End, which was a playground anyway, you know, for us at the time, at that age. Yeah. Oh. And they'd mention a name. Oh, Eggie Sims. He was a character, he was. Eggie Sims. Bobby Marks.
Would your girlfriends write, or any of your girlfriends, or, you know...
Never had one.
So it was just mates or family?
Yeah.
And what about parcels? Did your mum get... I mean, did you get any parcels from either the regiment or... do-gooders, if you like, or the
really.
Family?
No.
You didn't get any then?
No, I
did
never
did. Any of the lads get parcels?
I can't fetch to mind whether they did, honestly.
It certainly wasn't important if they did.
Oh, yeah. I can't fetch to mind whether any of them got any parcels. They may have done, but I can't fetch it to mind whether I never got none, I know that.
Now, I mean, how long were you on Hill 355? It wasn't long, was it? We've just a bit of an excuse to look at conditions. But
yeah.
How long do you think you were there?
It wasn't long, maybe.
So where did you...
Six, seven, eight, maybe about a month or two, or about 5 weeks, then we moved to another one.
And nothing really happened?
No. Nothing happened at all there, I don't think. No, it never. No, 355 was virtually quiet.
So what was your next move?
I think it was 359 or
well, we'll put it that.
159.
159.
Oh, that was a dog, that was.
It was 159, was it?
I'm sure it was 159.
Now, what was the situation at Hill 159?
That was terrible, that was. You used to get... You was bombarded more so.
Where exactly was it? Was it near 359?
Yeah.
Where, in relation to it? Further forward?
Further forward, I should imagine it was, but... From there, we used to go out on patrols, I know that.
You didn't patrol from 359?
No.
Well, tell me, what was it, how bad were the bombardments on 159?
They was regular, they was. They was used to come down regular as clockwork. And they were sustained as well. They was. And from there, as I say, we used to go out...
Did you suffer any casualties in the, you know, I mean...
Oh, yeah. Not in... so much in our sector, but you'd hear, you know, oh, so-and-so copped it and so-and-so's copped that.
So not your platoon, but...
Well, in our platoon, yeah, but not in sort of
close
proximity to us, yeah.
Did casualties worry you at all, or was it still just the same as it had been in Egypt, you know?
No, it's just, it didn't worry. It would, if you knew, see, really, coming from the Camerons to the Black Watch... I never had any close mates except those that came from the Camerons, and when you was entrenched you only had the guy on your left or the right which you was close to, so you never got to make friends with sort of anyone further.
So those your
further apart.
Those people next to you would tend to be the people who'd come with you from the Camerons.
No, not necessarily. No, they could be Black Watch, like, who come from Germany, so they weren't necessarily... I mean, I was...
Were they standoffish, then?
No. It's just that you never came into contact with them all that much when you was on the hills, when you was in positions. You didn't just wander around, like, you know, you stayed where you was.
Now, tell me what the patrols were like. Were they reconnaissance patrol or fighting patrol?
Oh no, they were fighting patrols, they was.
Now tell me what, take me right through a fighting patrol. If you can think of one in particular, then have that in your mind.
One in particular, yes. I was the number two behind Lieutenant Gillespie, and I had the radio. I took the short squaw. I had the big radio on me back. With
now, why were you picked that? Because you weren't a wireless man.
No.
You weren't carrying it.
I was, yeah, and the aerial was 10 foot in the air, flapping like this, so anyone could see me coming.
Which sort, was it the 88 set?
No, the 88 set was the small set. The 88 set was the handset.
So which one was this?
God knows.
A big one.
It was a pack on me back. Not being a wireless operator, I didn't know.
Now that was, that
anyone
was
had to operate it. I never operated it.
You
they
just
did.
Carried it.
Yeah.
Now that must have been tough.
And we went out at last light.
Now hang on. How many of you?
I'm just trying to think in line. Six of us.
That sounds more like a reconnaissance.
Officers? Officer? No, this is an ambush, this was. Ambush patrol, this. John Gillespie, myself, and four others behind me. Ambush patrol.
Now, what weapons were you carrying? I mean, you'd have just your rifle,
wouldn't
you?
I just had a rifle, yeah. I think there was a Bren gun, and I think also the Sten... I can't remember who had a... I know somebody had a Thompson.
Well, Were a lot of Tom... were they in use much?
Yeah, yeah, there was a lot of it from the Americans.
Were they better than the Sten?
Oh, yeah. Because they used, funny enough, the Thompson submachine gun used the same round as a 45. It was a 45 caliber, 45 revolver, which was like as big as your thumb. And it packed something as well, yeah.
So it had more of a punch.
Oh,
than
yeah, the Sten gun was, I think, a little rabbit thing, wasn't it?
So, what about briefing before this ambush patrol? I mean, how much briefing would there be?
Not very many, because not much. It was a known fact that Baker Company supplied all the patrols. Why, I don't know. But we did. We supplied all patrols. Ambush patrols, and guerrilla patrols, set-up patrol, reconnaissance patrols. But this particular night, when we went out at last light, they opened up the wire for us, went down in the valley.
That's into no man's land.
Into no one's land, yeah. No man's land. Went down there and stopped. Got up, walked on. Now, we was Indian file. Good job we was. Good job we was Indian file. Because we hadn't gone much further. Being Indian file, that's why we weren't hit. 10 yards, 30 foot, 20 foot away from us, they opened up. They was waiting for us. We was ambushed. They've had an ambush patrol already there. And they opened up on us, and not one of us was hit. But we opened up.
Could you see where the was it Chinese or North Koreans, or could you not?
Well, you couldn't see that far. It was dark anyway. They stood up, we could see the flashes of their weapons, and they let go at us. We dropped. We had our grenades.
What'd you do with your wireless?
Well, it was on my back anyway, so I just dropped them. The grenades went. We moved forward. There was no more firing from the Korean or Chinese, North Koreans. When we got to where we thought they was, there was two dead. We found two dead. We turned back, and did those mortars come down on us?
And what was that like?
Oh dear. There was trees. I remember coming back, there was trees on my left hand side, and a mortar, it just shows you how blast goes upwards, sideways. It dropped a foot from me left hand leg, and I wasn't touched. And I thought to myself, well, Bill, you ain't going to die out here. Because if I was going to die, I'd have been dead then. Or my legs blown off or whatever. And do you know what? Not one of us was touched. We made a kill. There was two there.
Now, you've been incredibly lucky here because, you know, I mean, they'd open fire first. They should have.
They stood up support. They ambushed us. They ambushed us. No more than... you could near enough touch them, I should imagine. And it's a good job we was Indian file, because he was spread out, some of us would have been dead anyway. But
now you just were making your way back to the lines.
Yeah. And they pinpointed us with their mortars. But not one of us was touched. Not one of us.
So you got back safely?
Got back safely. And the thing was, that is not, you know, when the adrenaline's running, you're pumped up, and firing, I mean, we was also firing our weapons as well, besides the grenades, you get a taste of cordite, your mouth, your tongue goes dry, you get a taste of cordite in your mouth. I got back to our hoochie, and there's these beer bottles being brown. They were the old brown beer bottles, Asahi beer bottles. Not thinking, I didn't think there was beer anyway, but I'd have drunk it because I was so dry. I picked up the first bottle I see when I got back. I'm taking gulps and gulps because I'm so dry. Petrol. Petrol! Oh! That night, and mostly the next day, be good job I wasn't called for a briefing at all, I virtually laid paralysed in me hoochie. I remember his name, Macmillan, was next to me. I said, mate, I said, don't tell anyone. I said, I'm... And every time I gurped, petrol fumes come up. Don't smoke! Petrol fumes come up. It had a lasting effect for a day, and then I was all right. Bloody hell.
Now, what other kind? You mentioned loads of other kinds of patrol. You know, what other kinds of patrol were there?
Mainly was that patrol, you know.
Ambush
patrol, yeah.
What else, though?
I never went out on a reconnaissance patrol. Not our particular sector, anyway. But we used to go out, not on patrol, but we used to go to an OP, observation post. And I remember one particular time.
Now, were these in the front line or in front in no man's land?
Oh, no, these was in the front line, but right out into no man's land. In the front line, it was your lines, but you left your lines slightly and went out to OP. Sergeant Hutch, he was with us once, and he said to me, look at them over there. And we could actually see the Chinese or North Koreans giving each other an haircut, sitting in the chair from our position. And we had a 30 caliber Browning, belt fed, with a pistol grip. He's blasted them off, Sergeant Hutch. And we could actually see the barber and the guy sitting in the chair, bits flying off of them. And we knew it was wrong, because minutes later the mortars were coming down, and this was an open shell hole, and we were observation. Hutch, you've done it all wrong. That was one of the lighter times, you know. But we was all right.
You got away with it.
Yeah, we got away with that.
Do you go on a listening patrol ever?
Listening patrol, yeah, we went on a listening
patrol.
What's
a listening patrol?
You could hear, well, you...
How many?
You could take a radio. There was only two of us went out on one listening patrol, radio as well. And you'd listen to see if there was... This was night time. And you listen to see if any movement, any digging going on, because they were one for tunnels, you know. They were one for tunnels, the Chinese or the North Koreans. They did love a tunnel. And you just used the radio back, you know, so-and-so, movement there. But that was about all, there's nothing... It wasn't until we got to the hook where we really done the fighting. So
nothing else then from Hill 159. I mean,
no, 159. Yeah.
The worst of that seems to have been the fire, the shell fire.
Yeah, the shell fire, 159. It sort of never let up at all. 159.
Did you get any rest periods after the line? You know.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we had one time. We used to go on the reverse side. That was our...
The reverse slope.
Yeah. That was our rest period. Yeah, that
no,
was
you
our...
You didn't get any further back than that?
No. Not our particular one, no.
But
I
you'd don't be know. Out to the worst of the fire.
Yeah. When I read these accounts of guys going to Japan and Seoul, going into Seoul for rest, how comes, like, you know? And then you realise they may have been corpsmen. or not infantry, like, you know. That's no, we never did. We never got to R&R.
Were you aware of the situation in the whole war? What was going on in the war?
Yeah, yeah.
What was happening?
All this, the peace talks at Panmunjom, we used to get little things about it, you know. Oh, they're having peace talks, come to an agreement, then so-and-so's walked out, you know. They've walked out, and it was back to square one. You was all hopes of it finishing. Oh, so-and-so's walked out on the peace talk. All right, back to square one now. Like, you know, keep digging, lads. Yeah.
Now, any other pests? We mentioned rats, but it occurs to me there were other nuisances out there, snakes, things like that. Did they?
I never come across any. No.
Scorpion things or
no,
spiders?
No.
So
I never come across
for you.
Rats and mosquitoes.
No, that's my fault. Mosquitoes and malaria,
yeah,
for cool.
Yeah, although I took malaria tablets, and I had the malaria repellent on me and all that when I went out on patrol and all that, and the nets and all that, I still contracted malaria when I came home. Cerebral malaria, they called it.
We'll come to that when we get you back. But you took all the precautions.
Everything, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what happens next then? You're up on Hill 159. How long are you there?
Not long. We wasn't there long. And it was, I forget when we moved on to the hook. The early 1st of thing of November. We moved on.
1st of November?
No, not the 1st of November. Late October. We moved on to the hook. Yes, late October, I think it was. We moved on to the hook. And
now, what was the situation when you got there? Because the hook's a famous place, but
yeah,
as you say, also the Korean War is a forgotten war, so a lot of people don't know. What was happening? What was the hook?
Well, it stuck out like a sore thumb, protruding into the Samachom Valley. Now, the Samachom Valley was the main and direct route from the North Korea to Seoul, which was the main city in the south. But to get through there without any impediment, they had to pass the hook, which was a sore point, was sticking out, was stopping them. Now, the Chinese actually
stuck out from the hills into the Samachom Valley.
Yeah, into the Samachom Valley.
Now, what were the defences like on the hook? I mean,
when we got, when the Black Watch got there, I'm talking from my own experiences now, not anybody else's. When we got to our position, we was taken over from the United States Marine Corps, the 7th Cavalry, which was Marine Corps. When we got there, there wasn't a Marine on that position. And the position, the defences as such, was only knee high. It was just like a ditch, with the barbed wire defences was flattened. They took a real hiding. And when we got there, as I said, there weren't a...
So they had been deeper, but they'd have been bashed up by the Chinese...
Not really. I don't think they'd have been deeper, because they never used to dig deep, did they?
So it was
the
just
Americans.
It was just that they hadn't dug deep, and
they hadn't
and
dug.
Then whatever had been smashed up.
Yeah. And they really took a hiding. And when we took over, from hearsay, I heard that one of the... Colonel Delaney, yeah, that was his name, he was the Marine Colonel. He gave our Colonel 24 hours before we was knocked off. But it didn't happen. Now, prior to that, when we got on there, or was we on there? No. Yes. Prior to that, we got on the onto the hook. Four platoon was sorted. As I said, we got there, our positions was there, knocked to pieces, you know. The first night we was there, the Chinese and North Koreans, whichever, what was her name? Bloody hell, I forget her name now. Come over the microphone from the valley. Hello, Black Watch. We know you're there. We just took our positions up. There they was. But the thing is, if the Americans had stayed there, while they was bugging out, they was encroaching on our positions without anyone knowing. See?
Anything else said in this broadcast across the valley?
No. Oh, well, it was, hello, Black Watch. We know you're there. You know, same old thing. This is not your war. Go home. And that was it. I forget her name. Now, Bill Hands would know her name, because we have mentioned it before. It used to be Tokyo Lil. Do you remember that in the Second World? Tokyo Lil.
Tokyo Rose.
Tokyo Rose used to give the Americans the treatment, didn't she?
So this was a similar sort of
this
thing.
This was. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You took no notice of it?
No, no.
Now, how did you try and get the positions ready to defend? I mean, because it's your life, you know.
We never. We made do what we could at the time. Now, I'm going forward now to Colonel Rose. Why, my opinion, why the man never become a full colonel on his retirement? He retired a lieutenant colonel because he was a jock's man. He really was a jock's man. And that got up some people's noses, the higher hierarchy of the army. He was a jock's man through and through. When he got there and see our defences, he went, this is a no-no. Who he see, I don't know. But within no time, he went and rubbed a few people up the wrong way. He got sappers. He got our sappers. British Army sappers. And he got South Korean, which are rocks. Call them rocks. Labourers. To make proper defences. And
he made. What do you mean by proper defences?
Proper defences. We had trenches dug, proper, chest high, and the hooches. Now, it shows you how clever and observant he was. When he was first went to Korea, he was shown, we never see him often then, but he was shown round different defences and what the Chinese defences were. Now, their hooches, you went in and it was like a dog leg, an L shape. So anyone throwing a grenade in couldn't hurt you anyway because you was round the other side, the L shape. Or any blast was outside, couldn't hurt you. And that's what he made our hooches like then.
Now, were you still occupying the positions while the engineers and Chinese South Koreans were doing
it? Oh, we were still there. I mean, we lost. There was one instance there. I think it was the 4th of November. I'm not sure. 4th or 5th of November.